for this evening, beginning of this chapter, that we are no longer servants to sin, but rather we are sons and daughters of God. We are freed from sin and alive to the Father for a relationship with Him. And as we continue through chapter 4 this evening, Paul continues speaking to the Galatians, reminding them of what their life was like before they came to know God. And this is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 8. The Bible says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? Whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Spiritual decline begins when believers drift back into bondage. When we begin to spiritually decline or regress in our Christian lives as we walk with God, that happens when we return to the very things that Christ freed us from. And as I thought about this principle and this truth, it reminded me of when I traveled over to San Diego with some friends during a summer break of many, many years ago at this point. But we had gone to San Diego, went to Coronado Island, and we decided we were going to go to the beach, and we were going to go swimming. And I love the city of San Diego. It is such a beautiful city, and I always enjoyed every time we got to go there. But we get to the beach, and we begin swimming, and we're probably swimming for an hour. I mean, we're having a great time. I'm from Ohio, where you go on the lake a lot, but there's no waves on Lake Erie like there's waves coming from the Pacific, okay? And so these waves are coming in, maybe 6 feet tall, 8 feet tall. I don't know exactly how tall they were. But these waves are beating us up. And we're laughing. We're having a good time. We're splashing each other in the water. But then all of a sudden, about an hour in, we're moving around. And I look back, and I realize we're much farther from the shore than we were just a bit ago. And just as I'm about to tell my friends and say, "Hey, guys, I think we should start swimming back," I realized something in that moment, and my friends realized it at the same moment. We had been caught in a rip current. The current was running back out to sea, and all of a sudden, you know, there's the panic on all of our faces of, oh no, what have we done? And so we're swimming sideways again against the current, trying to get out, and praise the Lord we did. The Lord kept us safe that afternoon. But it shocked me just how quickly we had drifted away from that land. And it shocked me how quickly the current had taken us out to sea and away from the beach in which we had begun. And I don't know if something similar has ever happened to you, but that same drifting can happen spiritually. We can be walking with God, reading our Bibles, having a personal relationship with Him, and then all of a sudden, days later, weeks later, months later, we realize we're not exactly as close to God as we once were. We've drifted away from Him spiritually. And I'm confident that this same thing had happened to these believers in Galatia, but it wasn't a rip current that took the believers in Galatia away from Christ. And so the question we're looking at this evening is, what causes believers to move backward instead of growing spiritually? What is it in our lives that takes us farther away from God as opposed to the purpose of God, is which with us being conformed to the image of Christ? And as we look at this passage tonight, Paul addresses the Galatians, and we discover three causes of spiritual regression in the life of a believer. And the first point we see this evening is forgetting past bondage. The first cause is forgetting past bondage. Verse 8 says, "How be it then when ye knew not God?" Paul opens up this passage by talking to the Galatians and saying, reflect, think about your life before you knew God. Before you knew your Heavenly Father as Christians, before you knew Jesus Christ, before you accepted Him as your personal Savior, look back at that time before you made that decision. Look back at that time before you knew Christ. Because it's important as Christians to remember all that God has done for us and through us. To remember, it's important to remember where we were before we knew him, before he transformed us from the inside out. Notice what Psalm 103 says. David writes this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." In this psalm, David is opening this passage, and he's directing his praise to the Lord. And there's two things that he's praising God for. Notice the first thing is God's holy name, his character, what he's known for, who he is. But secondly, he says, "Lord, help me to not forget all your benefits, the Lord's provision in his life." I mean, just think about where the Lord had brought David from. He began as a lowly shepherd. The Bible says that he was ruddy. He was smaller than the rest. If you were looking at David, he didn't look like the great king that God would make him into. But God had transformed his life and the work that he did in his life. And even when David sinned and was far from God, God lovingly and mercifully brought him back into the fold. Because the moment we forget all that God has done for us, and we forget all that God has brought us through, that moment is when believers, we are at our most vulnerable and we are in danger. When we forget the miracles that God has worked in our lives, when we forget the things that he saw us through, even when we didn't know how we would get through it, we must remember those moments. Have we become so familiar with God's blessings that we no longer intentionally remember what he saved us from? That we no longer intentionally go back and think about his faithfulness to us? I mean, when was the last time you took a step back in your life and intentionally thought about, "Lord, you've been so good in everything that you've seen me through. Lord, I would not have made it through this situation if you weren't there standing next to me, if you weren't with me in the fire," so to speak. The reason this is so important for Christians is because if you think of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, Israel strayed from God when they forgot his goodness. Israel strayed from God in the wilderness when there was repeated murmuring, when God is literally leading them at night by a pillar of fire and a cloud during the day. But Israel is still murmuring. They're forgetting his goodness. In Exodus 32, Moses goes up to receive the Ten Commandments. And what does Israel do? They create a golden calf and they begin worshiping it, saying, "This is what has brought us out of Egypt." No, God had brought them out of Egypt. God had freed them, but they were quick to forget. Even after claiming the promised land in Judges 2, Israel forgets God's faithfulness and they drift into idolatry. Our hearts are closest to him when we have a remembrance of all that he has done for us. When we choose to think back at God's goodness, his character, that is when our hearts are closest to our Savior. I would encourage you, even if it's this evening or tomorrow morning, to just take a moment and write down God's goodness. I love that song, "Count Your Blessings." That wasn't planned, that wasn't orchestrated, but it's so true. Sometimes we just need to take a step back and count our blessings and remember, hey, a lot of things may be crazy in life, but God is still good. God is still working. And notice that Paul does not say to the Galatians, "Before you came religious," or "Before you became moral," or "tried to be good people." He says, "Before you knew God." See, the problem the Galatians were having wasn't that of not showing outward spirituality or the appearance of godliness. What the Galatians were missing was that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if anything, the outward show had increased for the Galatians. Remember, they were following those Jewish teachers that said you had to follow X, Y, Z, and you had to keep the law, and you had to do all these things. Outwardly, I'm sure the Galatians thought that they were thriving. But Paul says it's not about the outward appearance. It's not about what man is seeing, what everyone on the outside is seeing. It's about what God sees, and God sees the heart. But Paul continues and details what the life of these believers was like before knowing God as we continue through our scripture. He says, "Ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." The word service here carries the idea of bondage. You were in bondage to these things that were less than God. You were in bondage to these things of the world that had no promise in them. They had no ability to give life. They had no authority or power or ability to save. And you were trapped serving them before you met Christ. I pray that everyone would say, once they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that their life changed. That's the way it's supposed to be. A faith that saves us will change us from the inside out. And Paul is saying, listen, remember where you were before Christ, all those things that you were serving, those things you were ensnared in, those things you were trapped in, and then think about God's goodness in bringing you out. There are many people living their lives today for things that have no eternal significance. There's people living their lives today trying to see what job title they can put in front of their name. There's people living their lives to see how much wealth they can build on this earth. And there's many other things that people live for, and not all of them are bad. But the truth is, they have no eternal significance. We spend so much of our lives living for the temporal and thinking about the here and now, we forget what God cares about and what God wants to do in our lives. Paul warns the believers in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It is imperative as Christians that what matters to God matters to us most. And what is it that matters to God? Well, the Bible says that God is willing that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Even those that maybe rub us the wrong way in the office or the people that we don't quite get along with. But God says, listen, I want them to come and know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's what matters to God above all else. That's why he sent his Son to die for the sins of the world. But does that matter to us above all things? Are we quick to give people the cold shoulder in the office, or to try to ignore them or not talk to them, or even maybe talk behind their back if we're frustrated with them? That person's soul is so much more important to God than any business we have here on earth. And as we think about things and we see things as God sees them, we will remember all that God has done for us, how he saw our past situations, what we were stuck in. Because many in this world have allowed their sight to be lured away from the things of God and what God has done for us. But forgetting past bondage is just the first cause of spiritual decline. It's just the first cause that pushes us further away from God, that as we drift away from God because we forget about his goodness. But notice, secondly, this evening, forsaking personal relationship. Forsaking personal relationship, verse 9 says, but now, after that ye have known God. Paul's moving forward here, saying, okay, you've thought about the past, you realize where you were, but now think about the relationship that is available in Christ. Paul brings them back to the present day that they know God. And this knowing was not just a simple knowing of information or Christian doctrines or some intellectual awareness that there is a God, but that there is a God and he is my heavenly Father. It's good to know there is a creator because there is. But how often do we think about the fact that he is our heavenly Father that cares deeply for us? We are supposed to know him personally, because there is a difference between knowing about God and knowing him personally. Building that relationship, spending time with him through the reading of his word and through prayer time. Someone can learn historical facts about the scripture and still not be any closer to God. You can memorize 100 verses from the Bible and still not be closer to God. It's that daily walk with the Father that builds that relationship with him. So we must ask ourselves this evening, are we truly walking daily with God? Or are we relying more on knowledge, routine, or outward spirituality, outward show, than genuine relationship with Him? Because to know God personally means to walk with Him daily, in prayer and reading. It means trusting Him through trials. When we don't know what's going to happen, we can trust that He does. It means seeking to honor and glorify Him in all that we say and do. And it means dying to self daily. As I live this day, it's not about what Noah Stevens desires. It's not about what Noah Stevens wants. It's about the cause of Christ and what He desires to do through me. And that should be all of our prayers. Simple to say, you can learn facts about God without ever truly walking closely with Him. But notice what Paul says next. Or rather are known of God. He tells them, now that you know God, but he almost corrects himself mid-sentence here. And he says, or rather, you are known of God. You know God and God knows you personally. Notice what David has to say about that in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3. David says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. David is proclaiming, Lord, I know you, but Lord, you know me. Lord, you know me personally. You know what I'm going through. You know as I go about my day and everything that I'm struggling with, everything that I have to accomplish. Lord, you know me. Any place, any time, any circumstance, Lord, you are there. And the passage is showing us God's initiative and God's grace towards us that He offers so freely. But also His pursuing love. 1 John 4:19 puts it this way. We love Him because He first loved us. It was nothing of ourselves that impressed God, that made Him want to save us, that made Him send His Son to give us eternal life if we'll call on His name. In fact, I can say for my life personally, God showed more grace and more mercy than I could ever imagine. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, as high as I can count, chances from the Lord. Was nothing of myself that impressed God, but rather, I love Him because He first loved me and sent His Son for me. The Christian life is not sustained by proving ourselves to God, but rather by belonging to God. We are saved that we would be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, to the one that loves us more than we could ever imagine. And Paul continues in saying, how turn ye again? He said, you know God. You're known of God. How do ye turn again? How have you turned away from that love, from that salvation, that freedom, that grace, that relationship you have in the Savior? How have you willingly chosen to leave that unfathomable love? And that's the tragedy of spiritual regression. Is that in the process of drifting from the Lord, in the process of regressing spiritually, what we're doing is slowly returning to what Christ has freed us from. Let me ask a personal question this morning, I'm not looking for a raise of hands. But what has Christ freed you from? What difference is it that Christ has made in your life? Because in Christ is freedom. But as the Galatians had turned away from that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they were being conformed into the image of these men, these Jewish teachers, rather than that of Jesus Christ. And he said, notice what he says they've returned to. He says, you've returned to the weak and beggarly elements. Paul describes the things that the Galatians were returning to as weak and powerless, empty and insufficient. These religious statements that they were involved in, that they were doing, could not save, could not transform, and could not conform them to the image of Jesus Christ. And whether it's like the Galatians all those years ago, in which they were trying to prove themselves spiritually to God, or as we see so many people today that begin strong in the faith, but we slowly see them depart from the things of God. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but it's happened to me, where you have a friend that encouraged you in the Lord. You have a friend that encouraged you to study God's word, to pray, but slowly you see them begin to drift from God. You have a friend that was your rock, that they encouraged you, but all of a sudden you realize something's happened to them. Something isn't what it used to be as they walked with God and served him. Because we can know church talk. We can do all the talk after a service like this on a Wednesday night and say all the right things. Oh, brother, I'm doing great. When the day was anything but great, we can say the right things. But the truth is, you can say the right things. You can know the scriptures front and back, but not show forth the Savior in which they proclaim. We can sing passionately during worship, but live a life that is disconnected from him every day of the week. We can be religious and regress spiritually at the same time. And Paul says next, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. He said, why are you returning to these things when there's a personal relationship offered in Jesus Christ? Why are you returning to the law? Why are you returning to sin? When there's a personal relationship offered with the one that loves you most. But notice, it was not only forsaking a personal relationship, but lastly this evening, they were following an empty religion. They had forgotten all that God had done for them. They had forsaken the personal relationship, that daily relationship with Jesus Christ, and it led to following an empty religion. Once someone has forsaken a personal relationship with Jesus, Christianity can become just an empty routine. Now, once you're saved, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible tells us, by the promises and power of God, you are always saved. But that fellowship can be strayed. We can still drift from God in fellowship and spending time with him while still being saved. Verse 10, Paul says, ye observe days and months and times and years. The Galatians were keeping all the special days. They were keeping all the right months and the times of the year. They were doing all these outward things, but the tragedy is those outward things became more important than the one that died and gave his life for them. It's happened in my own life, I'll be honest. When that, we all know we have a mental checklist in our heads, right? The mental checklist of, okay, this is what I have to do for work. This is maybe what I have to get done for family. This is what I should be doing as a Christian walking with God. But if we're not careful, that mental checklist can become more important than our personal relationship with him. If we're not careful, we can be more concerned with the number of verses out of the scripture we read this morning rather than did we actually meet with him? Did we actually know him more as a result of reading the scriptures, or did I just check a box? The Galatians were beginning to believe spirituality could be measured externally. But spiritual regression often begins when outward activity replaces inward relationship. When we're so concerned about the exterior, but we forget the heart of the matter. Ask us tonight, have we allowed religious habits and routines to replace real dependence and worship with Jesus Christ? Because it's completely possible to be becoming externally more religious and forgetting the one that died for our sins. Notice what Paul says in Hebrews 12:2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ is central to our faith, but from what Paul is saying, he wasn't central to their faith. They had moved, their eyes had been allured by other things. They were following this empty religion, checking the boxes, doing everything right on paper, but forgetting the personal relationship. In verse 11, Paul continues, "I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." This last verse shows us the heart of Paul for the believers in Galatia. Paul is not rebuking them out of anger, but who would say Paul is kind of, he's kind of put the Galatians through the ringer through this book, okay? As we've been going through the book of Galatians, Paul is correcting them on a lot of things, but Paul is saying, listen, it's not because I'm angry, it's because I'm fearful for you. It's because I see this path that you're on, and I know where it's going to take you, and I'm trying to warn you right now. How many of you have ever tried to warn someone about a path they were on, but they just wouldn't listen? How many of you have had children or teens you tried to warn and they just didn't listen? It's happened to me a lot, and I'm just starting to experience it with Bentley. He's just under 2 years old. A lot of the warning I'm doing with him is, hey, don't touch the hot hair curler, okay? Don't try to go down the stairs at full speed because then you're going to crash into the concrete. That's a lot of the warning I'm doing for Bentley. But how many of you have talked to a teenager and they're speaking and they're telling you all their plans, or they're talking about something, and you can just tell you have to warn them about the path in which they're on because you see where it's leading? And that's exactly what Paul is trying to do. Paul sees where this path is going to lead. And Paul had invested time, prayer, and suffering in these believers. But he's saying, listen, you need to stop now. Turn away from these things and turn to Jesus Christ. Because Paul knew where this path would end. It would end in certain grief, fear, and damage to all involved. And Paul realized that those believers were being conformed to the image of man, not into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we think about what was happening to these believers in Galatia, it answers the question for us this evening. What causes believers to move backward instead of growing spiritually? What is it that keeps us from growing in Christ and being more like Him? Number one, forgetting past bondage. Forgetting what God has brought us from, what He has brought us through, His goodness to us and how He's worked in our lives. Second thing we saw was forsaking personal relationship. Forsaking the Creator of the world and our Savior for our own desires. For our own checklist, rather than all that has already been done for us. And not just trying to check all the boxes, but truly trying to know our Creator and our Savior more. We saw them forsake that personal relationship. And lastly, following empty religion. Following all the right practices, doing all the right things, being at church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, being at different Bible studies, checking all the boxes, doing all the right things, but ever silently drifting in our personal relationship with Him. Because spiritual decline begins when believers drift back into bondage. When we go back to those things that Jesus Christ has saved us from. We must remember what He's done, personally build that relationship with Him, and refuse to seek and to follow empty religion, but following the One that is the author and finisher of our faith. So tonight, may we draw close again to the Savior who brought us out of bondage and brought us into a relationship with Himself, because nothing this world offers could ever compare to what Jesus Christ has done for us and the fullness that is offered in Him. Let's take a moment in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity in which You've given to us, Lord, to know You. Lord, if there's anyone here this evening that does not know You as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they would speak to someone this evening that can show them from the Scriptures what Your Son has done for them. And Lord, the fullness, and Lord, what You offer through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that if we are here this evening forgetting all your goodness towards us, Lord, help us to reflect on your goodness. Lord, help us to focus on your goodness and all that you have done. Lord, forgive us if this has just turned into something that we do and not something that we do to know you more, Lord, to know you personally. Lord, we don't want this to be a place of empty religion in which we gather and check off the boxes. But Lord, we want this to be a place where believers are encouraged, where believers are built up to honor and glorify you, Lord, to serve you. Lord, we need your grace and your strength. We praise you for this time. Thank you for your word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.